This is Hannah from Cape Coral, Florida, saying congratulations on your 100th show, and you're listening to the Jimmy Doan Show.
Oh, awesome.
Mr. Doan, James Doan.
Where is 006.9 now?
He's on a mission, sir.
Do you expect me to talk?
An excellent plan, Mr. Doan. Look out, James.
Let me try and enlarge your vocabulary.
Drink.
The biggest counterfeiter of actual money is the United States government.
Choose your next witticism carefully.
I want to be covered in drugs.
One day we must invent a faster working venom.
Yeah.
They cannot counterfeit gold.
The only gold I know about is the kind you wear.
Every law is backed by bullets.
Bullets do not kill. It is the finger that pulls the trigger.
Exactly.
Doom, I like that.
James!
The Jimmy Doan Show. The 100th show.
It sounds like the Jack Roach Show.
As always.
As always. You notice the first person to chime in here. Jack Roach.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
That's it.
September 9th, 2007.
Only 2 days to go before Doomsday, before Armageddon.
Could be our last show.
Yeah.
We made it to 100, though. That's good.
We made it to 100, and the, it could be 9/11, could be, I'm sure that we're number one target area.
No question.
Oh, yeah. That your house has an X on it.
Yeah, it's safe from Google Earth.
Well, from the United States government.
Yeah, that's true.
So how'd you like Counselor's new intro? I guess he was...
oh, my God. Counselor's
had some time over the weekend there.
took time out from saving little children and lawyering it.
Yeah, you know, several kids got molested, but heck, we got a new intro.
Yeah, well, you know, he's one of those that lives more than 2,000 feet away from a playground, so that's good. Yeah, I saw in California they're going to have to move 2,175 people.
Unreal.
Yeah, I don't want to go there right now. Anyway, this is Jimmy Doan Show. 100th episode. Thank you so much. And we're going to have a few phone-in guests.
Yeah, is this our 100th show podcast? Is that what
it's
it is?
It's the 100th time we sat here.
This does not include the old Jimmy Doan.
No. We got 100. We got 90 of those.
Okay.
That's right.
This is for our webcasting people.
So what years are we talking about? What year did we start this back up here on the podcast?
It's been 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, okay. July 24th, 2 years ago is our first show.
So we're doing 50 shows a year. That's 1 week, right?
Plus vacation time.
What more can you ask?
Jimmy's taking a month off in October to go to...
Honduras.
To Honduras. I mean, and assuming it's not blowed away.
Right.
Because
it might get blowed away, huh?
Well, in La Ceiba was under 3-4 feet of water, and that's where I'm headed. So
for what Jimmy pays us here, 50 shows a year, that's not bad.
No, it's not.
That's right.
You know, I
that's
think
right.
you're actually, you're a little overpaid, but it's okay. but I mean, that's, Jimmy doesn't mind.
It's the
Jimmy
Jack Rhodes Show.
That's right. He doesn't mind that. So
I'm going to start getting double billing.
That's
to
right.
compensate for my lack of payment.
Well, speaking of billing, I did want to say we got a sponsor.
We got a sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy got a sponsor. We don't have to pay. They pay us?
They actually gave us money.
No.
I didn't want to mention. No, the Libertarian Forum. They got
awesome.
A great little website. It's the Libertarian Forum, and they're at thelibertarianforum.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome
and,
site.
It really is a great site.
Yeah,
you can go there. Seriously,
yeah.
You can go there and sign up any one of, let me just look here, 12 different ways. You just click on it, and you can be instantly alerted whenever they make a change.
All right. They got some polls.
Just like us and V-Blitz.
Right. But I did like they're obviously... very solid libertarian, because one of the books they recommend here is Human Action, which good luck on reading that. You know, it's 1,000 pages written by some Austrian guy.
Mm.
No, I'm kidding, of course. It, let me put it this way. It's one of those that you ought to have on your shelf.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And you hold up all the other books.
I was
going to
say, it is a shelf. I mean,
it's a shelf. Well, let me tell you. It's a great, obviously, it's a tome that the people, if you have a PhD in Austrian economics, of course you've read it, then that's good.
All right, thelibertarianforum.com. We appreciate it.
We got this. Keep those checks coming.
Except PayPal.
I'm a little nervous about the fellow that sent it to us, though.
Ah.
His name,
Mohammed?
Well, not quite. I haven't done an actual anagram on his name, but it looks like it's the death ray. You do an anagram on his name.
From
but anyway, Erhan. Well, it's like, you know, when you think of Erhan, I think right away about the guy that shot Sirhan.
Oh,
you know. So anyway, Erhan Altray Center says, anyway, he's on there, and we want to tell you to go to that site.
Well, welcome to the family, Erhan.
Welcome to the family, that's right.
Nice.
Also, the next thing I want to do is I want to say hello to our friend Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Phil sent us a clip, which is a stunning clip.
Good old Phil.
And it's called, you probably Google it, called Shock Doctrine is the name of this book.
Maybe we'll put a link on our webpage.
And this girl, and I saw her little video, and I saw her give a talk. She's doing speaking tours all over the United States and England. Like, she's got 20 or 30.
What age is she?
She looks like she's actually semi-hot. She looks like she's about 30 or 34.
Okay. I was envisioning a young child here the way you...
No. And right. Anyway, she wrote this book called Shock Doctrine and put up this little video. And in it, she says that Milton Friedman policies, free market policies, are the cause of all the misery in the world.
Wow.
And the way they do it in this thing, let me put it this way, it makes Michael Moore look like an Oscar. Well, he has actually won an Oscar. Now, wait a minute.
Bad analogy.
Yeah, no, it makes
him look thin or something.
Yeah, makes Michael Moore look thin. Exactly right.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's...
I hope she's coming through. That'd be great.
No, actually, she's mostly up in the Northeast and in Jollywood, England.
She's afraid to come down here in Jimmy Doan country. Yeah.
And also want to say, once again, Himordu i Sverige and Hey Gubbe, vi love. You know, we get, for some reason, we're starting to get more hits from Sweden.
Because you speak Swedish.
Because I speak, well, except I noticed that the last couple of hits were from Skåne, which is down in southern Sweden. They speak like a totally different language.
Yeah.
it sort of sounds like Swedish.
Jimmy knows speaks Skånish.
Well, he speaks a little, actually. But what's funny is that most of the rest of the Swedes don't understand it.
It's just he knows how to say, like, get laid or something. Like.
Yeah, well, duh. You know, I was over there when I was 22 years old. I was a walking hormone factory. And look, let me put it this way. I didn't need any Viagra.
We got some brothers and sisters in Sweden.
Too much information.
That's right. Yeah, they have some offspring over there. Never know.
Little Jimmy's, not true.
Well, in case everybody doesn't know who's on the show,
Oh, that's right.
Our 100th show.
Okay. We have Counselor Curtis.
Hey, it's me.
That's right. And we have... okay. And we have...
That was our poltergeist?
That was the poltergeist.
Right, right.
And then we also have, of course, our engineer.
Loaded.
Okay, and that's all.
That's it. No one else could make it.
Well, we did.
But we try for this special 100th occasion.
That's right. We tried.
Well, Jack Rhodes.
Stay tuned for the Jack Rhodes show.
That's right.
Well, right after the Jimmy Doan show.
During the break. While you're doing that show, I was doing another show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, it's been a while since I've been here. I've missed the last several shows. You know, life gets in the way. Good to be back.
EJ filled in a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. EJ, right? And of course, we found out that EJ, we love EJ to death, of course. But when he writes us stuff,
it's absolutely
it's
hysterical.
Just classic stuff. We have to talk. We have to read that thing he read about the girl that got booted off the plane for wearing him. Did you see her? I mean, she's totally hot.
She was absolutely incredibly hot.
She was a Hooters waitress,
right?
And dressed not even like she was at Hooters or anything.
No, she was wearing clothes.
And the pilot came out and said, like she was a terrorist or something.
Right.
I'm thinking.
I like Jack
and it was
Rogan.
Southwest Airlines of all places.
I'm sorry, ma'am. You're going to have to sit up front with the pilots.
No. It's the other way around.
We got an extra seat for you here. Yeah.
No. EJ's
grab onto thinking, this joystick.
Yeah. That's
so who was complaining about this?
The pilot, apparently.
We got gay pilots or something? What's going on here? Who's complaining about the miniskirt?
I'm guessing they said a steward person came over and asked her to leave.
Okay, now that makes sense because I thought the gays kept to the steward positions.
Well, you know that's.
I didn't know they had made it all the way to the cockpit.
Well, that's why they call it the cockpit.
Yeah.
Seriously, the pilots were complaining about this.
I don't. Obviously, they would have been. It seems to me in on the deal. But
yeah,
so anyway, she got back on after she covered herself with a blanket,
right,
and or a burqa or something,
right.
And then and, she was going to put on a burqa, but they said no, that's not going to do either. Yeah. So no,
well, and of course the dude sitting across from her is like, God damn it,
or next to her,
right?
She
right,
was in the
right,
center seat,
right? Right.
You know, and there were two guys were going, wait, who's so, playing
she,
here?
So counselor, does she have a lawsuit or what?
She says she
harassment?
Might. She's thinking she
was
might.
Did she cry?
No, what happened was probably didn't because there were actually no damages. It was
right.
Embarrassment. The problem is there are no damages. She got off the play. They kicked her off.
It'd be a contract breach thing, but I'm sure they gave her a free ticket.
No. She rode on that flight.
Okay.
So they just made her put on a blanket. And she said she wore a blanket to cover. But they showed a picture of her. They showed a picture of her, and she was, I'm trying to figure out, this is an airplane, right? It's not like you can see anybody. I mean, the only person you might annoy would be the, you know, not so hot feminazi next to you, that would be sitting next to you. But other than that, can you imagine Jimmy saying, you know,
I'm sorry, your shirt is too short. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
could you put some underwear on, please, ma'am?
They'd have been trying to, ma'am, can you come with us? And Jimmy said, I don't think so.
Yeah. Over my dead
body.
And erect body.
Again, too much information.
That's right.
Hey, we got listeners from Japan. Irashaimase.
All right.
We got the Philippines. We got Australia.
Good day.
Saudi Arabia.
That's a little scary.
Back. I'm bombing you.
Yeah, no. I take that back. We don't have anything.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Not anymore.
We got Moscow, Canada.
Yeah, Canada. Hey, Canada. I remember I put something on eBay and I got something from Canada. They were it down here. So I wrote it back and said, beauty, eh?
Take off,
you hoser. I'm not sending nothing to Canada.
All right, Jimmy, launch us into this.
Okay, well, here's the deal. I'm so glad that Jack is here because one of the top stories is Hugo.
Hugo.
No, Hugo. This is
Hugo.
Charming.
Yeah. Just let her roll, baby.
Yeah, let her roll. That's it.
What's going on with Hugo?
Well, of course, Hugo. On so many levels, this country is collapsing.
Wait, what's it been, 6 months now?
Yeah, it's been 6 months.
6 months.
It is collapsing.
You better clap.
That's collapsing, right?
It is
clap. That's right.
No, we so called this. When was the first time we started talking about it?
We started about that week, a week or two before he just took over.
It was like about a year, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe about a year ago. And
we gave it 2 years till.
Yeah, we gave it 2 years at the time.
And it's about done now.
Yeah.
Remember, he was changing all the money into Hugos.
Right.
We talked about that. So what's a Hugo worth now?
Well, it's called their Bolivars, of course, which is
Bolivar.
They're over four. There's like 4,500 to the dollar now. When he took over, it was only around 2,000.
Right, yeah,
no. So anyway, no, I mean this is on so many.
Gee,
levels.
I wonder what happened, Jimmy.
Here's the amazing part of it is, of course, they're richer than Croesus, for God's sake.
Well, some of them are.
Well, no, but I mean they've got money coming in from the oil like they do up in Alaska or something. And of course, what you see is the parallels here. I don't know where to start. There's so many parallels between the United States, where the United States is headed, and some of the states in the United States, and Hugo. And you can see this train wreck in fast motion down here in Venezuela. And the same kind of thing is up here in the United States on a slower level, and people don't see the connection.
It's just a bus wreck up here.
Yes, right.
It's a 52 train car wreck.
That's right.
So Hugo's on that expedited path. They've
got billions and billions of dollars coming in, and of course, he's spent it all on health programs and stuff like that, supposedly.
On gold toilets.
Right. But the thing is, there's still poor people down there. I mean, you would think that with that money, everybody would be rolling in dough. No, the inflation's gone through the ceiling.
But here's the deal.
He is so enamored of his program that he's got to take the socialist program, going to do away with capitalism and all that. But the title of this first article that I'm going to read you from I think it's from the American Express or something. Caracas. Chavez says he could govern until 2027. That's 20 years from now, of course. What he wants to do is he wants to establish permanent limits on his presidency for the next 20 years. And obviously what he's heading for is a lifetime appointment to the presidency. Well,
now he just changed this, right? Now he was supposed to be president every 4 years.
It was every 4. Then it went to, I think it's went to 6 or 7.
And then he did away with all of that. There's no term limit, right?
Well,
now.
No, there still is.
It's a 20 year.
But he's getting ready to change it to something to a more permanent thing. The
sea guile.
Well, here's the deal. The fact is that if you don't have regular free elections, how do you tell the guy that he's not doing a good job? I mean, and so if you are so fearful that your electorate people are going to kick you out, the way you do it is you make illegal elections. That's what the governments do. Anything they don't like, they make illegal. And then they do it themselves. In other words, up here, for instance, they make gambling illegal, but we'll do it.
Jimmy, are you sure he's not just securing his place in there for the good of the people of Venezuela
and the children?
Okay, and the children.
For the children, and for the
goose stepping through the Citgo station, baby.
No, the question, the answer is, if it's so good, why would you be afraid of an election? I mean, why would you? You know, if I'm doing a great job,
those crazy populist people mess it all up.
Well, no, except for the fact that he gives populism a bad name. I mean, he's such a populist the kind of stuff he wants to do. But anyway, the point is, he has previously said he could stay on as president until 2021 if his proposed constitutional reforms, which among other things would eliminate presidential term limits, so I can be in forever, letting him run as many more. Now, the interesting thing about this is the Constitution would eliminate presidential term limits. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. He's going to be dead very quickly.
I think that's
the way you change the government. If you can't change it with an election, you change it with guns.
Right.
It's pure and simple.
Because then the next guy gets a life appointment, too.
Exactly. Exactly. And life in that particular case is one of the shortest terms available.
he's going to cut his term down by a few years.
He'd be happy to have 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. I have 4 years instead of life. So government opponents have attacked reforms, accusing Chavez of seeking to stay in power for decades, like his close friend, Fidel Castro of Cuba.
Fidel.
And, of course, we know how well things are going in Cuba. Chavez denies the charges that...
Hey, man, if you're a 57 Chevy, you're loving Cuba, man.
Oh, man. You got to believe... Now, let me tell you something. Speaking of that, let me just digress just for a second.
Digress.
The one nice thing about Cuba...
There we go.
It will be a great market for a restoration in this country. A lot of the antiques that people haven't been able to get cars for in this country... We'll have a great parts repertoire, reservoir in Cuba as soon as we get rid of the guy. Well, so immediately, they'll have an economy.
Oh, no,
Jay Leno will double the size of his car collection overnight.
Oh, yeah, can you imagine the stuff showing up on eBay?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, 57 Chevy, third gear transmission ring, mint.
Right.
Still in box.
Still in box.
Comes with cigar.
That's right. Comes with cigar. That's right. I mean, we're talking triple digit auctions here. So anyway,
so
he wants to see Constitution is necessary to move Venezuela towards socialism and help the country's poor.
Aw, baby.
I don't know what this story is on Latin American dictators. In typical style, Chavez spoke for several hours on subjects ranging from Mayan theology to U.S. imperialism to advice he received in a recent letter from Castro. I mean, these guys get up there and harangue.
Yeah, baby, cue the music again. Ale, 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 ale.
So Chavez also said he hopes to meet soon with Representative Colombia's largest rebel group, the FARC.
Yeah, I saw that. He's doing a little PR work down there.
Yeah, for talking
to save some hostages.
Dozens of guerrilla-held hostages, including politician Ronald Reagan. No, Ingrid Betancourt and 3 U.S. defense contractors for imprisoned guerrillas. We will find a solution for the humanitarian exchange and hopefully also find a historic peace agreement. Yeah, right. Bullshit. So anyway, you're watching it in real time.
It's going to be
next article.
TGV train wreck.
Yeah, no, seriously. Oh no, this is going to be the comet.
The comet.
The silver streak has got nothing on.
This is
Venezuela.
This is the mass extinction. this is what's going to happen. Is no, seriously, it's going to be a roughly, I would say, the train wreck. It's going to be a comet the size of a train hitting Caracas, and that's what's about.
Caracas.
Venezuela currency plummets. Here's an article on from last week. The Venezuelan
this whole show is on Hugo, by the
well,
way.
Well, it could be the first part, I'm telling you. Because this is important. Because it's what is happening in this country on a slower pace. And this is the thing you can watch, and you say, well, it couldn't happen here. It's happened everywhere. In the all of recorded history, all of this has happened.
In every country.
Every time, and nobody's immune. I mean, it's that simple. So, look at
it. So, they're Hugo plummets.
And while Venezuela earns record proceeds from oil exports, consumers face shortages of meat, flour, and cooking oil. I mean, can you imagine they face shortage of cooking oil? Use motor oil.
Right.
What you do is you go in your backyard.
I thought they had a bunch of oil.
They do.
Suntan lotion, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Annual inflation has risen to 16%. Now, the highest in Latin America. Now, let me tell you, that one of the jokes that when I was growing up was we used to call... It was inflation of Latin American proportions. I mean, that's what we used to joke about, because down there they do this regularly. It's normal. For years, they haven't done it, but now Chavez has gotten hold of it, as Chavez tripled government spending in 4 years. Chavez, the Bolivar,
to shame, man.
The Bolivar has tumbled 30% this year to nearly 5,000 on the black market, the only place that trades freely because of government controls on foreign exchange. Now, remember... Wow. In this country, we have government. You don't realize this. We have controls in this country on foreign exchange. You still actually can swap your dollars for bolivars or Swiss francs or euros or whatever it is.
Yeah, that'd be a good move
at the floating rate.
Just to clarify, we're not suggesting.
But try and walk out of this country with $10,001 in your pocket without telling somebody.
Oh yeah,
the fine is $10,001,
Mr. Don.
No, I'm serious. It is. Yeah, it is. I'm seriously. If you try, the fine is exactly what you're carrying. If you try, now interestingly enough, they can't enforce it, because if you take anybody's got a credit card, it's worth $10,000-$15,000, and technically, and that's what they're doing now in Venezuela. It turns out that you can take your credit card out of Venezuela, so they're hoofing it over the border, and what they're doing is they're buying jewelry over there. You know, with their credit card, and then they're cashing, they're selling the jewelry.
Buying jewelry? You mean over where?
Over
Colombia.
Yeah. Any place. Anybody's currency is better than Venezuela's right now.
They're not buying jewelry in Colombia.
Hey, man.
They're buying something else.
But I love this. It's funny. It says a devaluation is this here and there. Everybody outside of Venezuela is saying, gee, it looks like we're going to have a devaluation since it's 5,000 these bolivars at 30% a year. I mean, do the math. It's like a trillion here in a couple of years. So anyway, then the new currency, it says, will be called the strong Bolivar. Soon to be the weak, the emaciated Bolivar, and finally the old Bolivar. An exchange rate of 2.15 to the dollar, the equivalent of the current rate. Finance Minister Rodrigo Cabezas said last week, analysts forecast that the official rate will decline 13, so forth and so on. We are not going to devalue no matter how much they pressure us, Cabezas said last week. The so-called parallel market doesn't dictate our fiscal exchange or monetary policies. Well, BS, it does.
Guess what?
No, guess what? It does. No, I mean, let me tell you something.
Hugo dictates it.
One of the great ironies in life is George Soros made his money. I remember when he did it. He made his money betting against the British pound. And what happened was the Chancellor of the Exchequer, I don't know when this was, in the 70s, early mid-70s, came out and said, we will never devalue the pound. And I'll tell you, I mean, I remember reading the newspapers at the time. I'll take that bet. And he leveraged his pants off of the thing. And sure enough, it is amazing to watch people do this up into the Chancellor of Exchequers or your currency controller or whatever it is, right up until the day. And invariably, it occurs on a weekend. Friday afternoon, they'll say, we'll never do it. And Monday morning, it's devalued. They did the same thing. I'll never forget this. They did this because Jimmy was in on this one. When the peso devalued. And one of the things that was interesting, everybody knew the peso was going to devalue. This was, again, in the mid-70s. It was really funny. This is when gold finally became legal to own in the United States. Well, what was happening was the peso, I forget what it was. It was, let's say it was 10 to the dollar or something like that. And everybody knew that it was worth about 2 to the dollar. So what would happen is on the futures market, you would buy peso futures. And because they would think that the peso would go drop down to 2 to the dollar. And, of course, the futures would reflect that. Well, except for the fact that the official exchange rate held up by the Mexican government, as the contracts became due, it would go back up to the 10 to the dollar. And so you'd make money. It was guaranteed because the Mexican government was stepping in and buying up all, sopping up all of the excess. Well, a little minor problem was one weekend, on Friday, they said, we'll never do this. And over the weekend, they said, oh, but guess what? We are going to do it. And they devalued the official, whatever the rate really was. And of course, everybody that was making money every 30 days on the futures market, they lost their ass that weekend. I'll never forget this because there was a guy who was recommending this, one of the gold bugs or whatever it was. And on Monday, when everybody checked into his, didn't have websites, but he had a little number you could call or a letter he would send out. He says, to my special subscribers, I sent that notice out on Friday afternoon and said, don't do it this weekend. And I'm thinking, you lying sack. you lying sack of crap. You didn't know any more than anybody else. You'd been telling us for the last 2 years. And it was, a good ride. It was a bubble while it lasted. So it's really funny. Anyway.
Can we buy futures in the Bolivar or whatever? And
Yeah, right.
Bolivar strong. Otherwise,
actually, you could. don't laugh. What you would do is, at this point, you would do the George Soros thing with is, here's the guy that says they're not going to devalue. And you'd short the pants off of this thing. Mm-hmm. Short pants is called. Huh? Okay.
Like the waitress.
Yeah, that's right.
Hugo.
So anyway, and of course, but everybody knows that since they will devalue. So I'm probably not going to be able to make that much money. So anyway, so some Venezuelans travel to nearby Curacao, which is Euros, I guess. And they buy $5,000 worth of casino poker chips with their credit cards. And exchange it for cash and then sell the dollars on the black market.
Isn't Curacao's an island, though? They're not just walking there, right?
No, but they...
Aruba, Bonaire, Curacao?
Right. Yeah. No, they're walking.
They ride over on
they're walking.
Cubans.
Yeah, Jesus. Everybody down there is named Jesus, so they...
on his shoulders and walk.
They boat over. I'm sure we have gambling trips here where they take you out, Right, they probably have Curacao trips.
All right.
And, of course, there's a nice liqueur.
Actually, it's pretty bitter.
Pretty bitter?
It's made from orange peels. Right. You never get a blue or an orange drink.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I have found, you heard it here, folks.
Yeah. I have found
if you load it up with enough vodka, it tastes pretty well after the third one. People are invoking their right to circumvent what are very stiff controls, said Alberto Ramos, senior Latin American economist at Goldman Sachs. The foreign exchange regulations are part of the controls that Chavez has created. In his march to socialism, quote, the government sets retail prices on hundreds of consumer products and fixes both the maximum rate at which banks can lend and the minimum interest they can pay depositors. Foreign investment, of course, interestingly enough, foreign investment in Venezuela was a negative almost a billion dollars last year as people sucked their money out. it's hysterical to watch this thing as this collapse. It's like a black hole in slow-mo. It's just
2-3 ale ale.
Yeah. Anyway,
ale ale.
Woo! So let me just finish.
We love Hugo.
I want to finish this segment by an article that I got from one of my favorite websites is the
HugoChavez.com.
Yeah, right. Not quite. It's okay. Don't tell me now. What is it?
We are not going to tell you.
No. Wait. Lou Rockwell. LouRockwell.com. They do some great stuff. Almost every day, like 5 or 10 articles. Any one of these that they had, which you should get if you're listening, go back into the little archives and it'll be from like September, 7th or something. It's called Inflation in 19, it's called Inflation. What story of inflation? And this is an article written in 1959. This is when Jimmy was, like in high school or something. And
sure.
Yeah, that.
As a teacher.
Jimmy was still a virgin in 1950.
We didn't say anything about that.
Again, too much information.
TMI.
That's right.
Okay, what happened was it traces what inflation over the centuries, over the millennia. And they talk about, for instance, the Roman penny. They said, at any rate, the two reference were found in a museum. The denarius was issued by, hence the name denaro. Issued by Augustus was pure silver, except for a little hardening, which we have in this country. It's called pure silver.
A little mixture.
Practically 100%. Yet by Nero in 54 AD, this is a little while later, it had dropped to 94%, then to 81%, and so forth, so on. And finally, by Philip, 244 AD. Now, this is, this is like less than three centuries. The silver content of the denarius was 0.5%. This is the way he used to do inflation before. before paper. Now, when Gutenberg showed up, whoa, floodgates opened up. Wait a minute. You mean we can put on a piece of paper, we'll promise to give you $100 in gold coin, and then, like, we don't have to do it?
Like, this is great.
This is, like, this is better than a license to steal. I mean, this is, like, whoa.
Like, I'm going to give this dude paper.
Jimmy actually has, around here someplace, a large, just from Jimmy's parents were around, you know, a large $20 gold thing. This promises the treasurer of the United States, promises to pay to the bearer, on demand, $20 in gold coin. And it's a lie.
Unless we outlaw it.
Yeah, unless we outlaw it. And what's funny about it is...
Unless we decide not to.
What's funny about it is that this is a contract. And contracts, you just don't arbitrarily outlaw contracts. I mean, but somebody took it to the Supreme Court, and this, I don't know exactly, I forget when it was, but it was in the 30s. It was during our thing. And somehow the Supreme Court said, yeah, we know it's a contract, but this one doesn't hold up. And they basically allowed them to abrogate that contract so that they could...
I haven't checked, but I bet it was the Roosevelt Court.
It was certainly one or two of them. But, well, you got to understand, they didn't outlaw the ownership of gold until Roosevelt was in. Had been in for 2 years.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, it's 1933 or 34 is when they outlawed. Prior to that time, you could have all the gold you wanted.
Right, right.
I mean, in fact, you can still get gold, $20 gold pieces minted in 1933 or something. So, I mean, they were perfectly legal. But they were outlawed. Not the $20 gold pieces weren't outlawed, but the ownership of bullion-type gold was outlawed in 33 or 34, whenever exactly. But like you say, somebody showed up at the window of the United States Treasury one day with one of these bills that said, we'll promise to pay, and said, could I please have my $20? And they said, no.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Right?
This man is a terrorist.
Yeah, that's right. So, and the Supreme Court apparently went along with it. And it would be interesting. We might have to find out what that's all about. So anyway, I'm going to take a break.
Our Hugo section.
We got our Hugo. The whole point on this segment was, look out. It's coming our way. It's a little slower. But if you want to see what the future of the great United States is, you watch what happens in Caracas over the next year or two. And I said, if this guy thinks he's going to make it to 2021, he's dreaming.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's dreaming.
It's like one of those stop-action photography things, you know, where you see it all happening really, really fast.
Exactly. They have exactly right. If you
keep
can watch
your
this,
eyes
you
on
can
watch, Venezuela.
You can watch this flower grow, you know,
in two years
in 10, 20 seconds. Exactly right. And that is what we are watching in Caracas. And the point is, he has signed his own death warrant by saying, you can't get me out of here until 2027.
Oh, yeah?
We're from South America, okay?
Yeah.
We know. We know revolution.
We know how to get. We are very good friends.
It's 27. You are out now.
Yeah, you're out now in 30-06.
The new Jimmy improved round.
It's a .227.
That's probably why he's playing with those rebels over there. Probably just a backup. You know?
Well, they always want to have it. They always want to have it out. If you noticed, of course, when the dictators, the smart ones, of course, take enough money and hole up over in Switzerland. It's interesting to see. You talk about an immigrant population in Switzerland. They're mostly from, you know, African.
Well, and all the Nazis in Argentina.
Yeah, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, yeah.
Chico's dumb enough to stay in his own country.
You haven't been down there diving on those subs they got anchored under there, have you? That'd be a cool dive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Robert from Blue Man Group in Boston, and you are listening to The Jimmy Doan Show, the best podcast on the web.
Hey, this is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You just got done listening to part one of our September 9th show. If you need part two, you can get it from JimmyDoan.com or your favorite podcast directory.